I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the POSO Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/POSO. Sign up today. It's called the POSO Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/POSO. Totally free. The POSO Daily Brief.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
The U.S. and Israel will reportedly hold a virtual meeting today to discuss the Biden administration's alternative proposals to Israeli military invasion of Rafah.
The Israeli Defense Forces are continuing their operations against Hamas in the Shifa Hospital. Israel says approximately 200 terrorists, they say, they have been eliminated in the area of the hospital since the beginning of this activity, this IDF activity around it. That's according to Israel once again.
Everybody thinks you have the power in this moment to slow down migration. Do you plan to?
We do, and want to continue doing it. But we do want for the root causes to be attended to, for them to be seriously looked at.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Republicans taking aim at President Biden for honoring Transgender Day of Visibility. The White House had put out a proclamation, and Republicans assailed it as an assault on Christianity. Trump campaign's press secretary saying, quote, we call on Joe Biden's failing campaign and White House to issue an apology to the millions of Catholics and Christians across America who believe tomorrow is for one celebration only, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We celebrate the trans individuals in our communities and recognize their struggle.
On Trans Day of Visibility, my message is simple. I see you and I've got your back.
The White House is pushing back on Republicans' criticism of President Biden for issuing a proclamation in support of transgender people. In a statement released on Friday, Biden proclaimed March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility. The Trump campaign called on Biden to apologize to Catholics and Christians for his blasphemous declaration. Those same Republicans also took exception to the White House's guidelines for the annual Easter egg roll, asking for decorated eggs not to include, quote, any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live here from Washington, D.C. Today is April 1st, 2024, Anno Domini. I'd like to remind you all to stay tuned for the very end of the show when actor Elliot Page will be joining us to give us his take on the Transgender Day of Visibility. But for now, let's go to my take. We've got these two competing pictures. I want, guys, please put this up. Show me the picture of 1956 New York and the picture of today. And let's show these two competing pictures at the same time. In the 1950s, the peak of Pax Americana, America proudly displayed the three crosses of Calvary. And the three crosses of Calvary showed us the sacrifice, the redemption, the struggle, and the legacy upon which Western civilization was built, and the greatest city of America's future, America's promise at the time, was built. The New Rome, New York City itself, the symbol of American progress, true progress. That was the ideals that led to the building of New York City, the building of the United States, the founding of America, hewing out of raw whole cloth and raw material this country, where the settlers came with nothing, found nothing, and created the most powerful country on the face of the planet. Now, our entire set of moral values, our moral code, has been gutted since the 1950s, specifically by the unhumans, and replaced with a new one in its place. New gods, if you will, new remembrance. If you want to live in a country where you will ever again want to see the public display of the three crosses of Calvary, New York City, you have to fight. And you have to fight now. You must seek reciprocity. You must use the exact law, the law of exact reciprocity, in order to achieve these ends. We talk about this in the book on humans. Today you'll see the pride colors. You'll see the National Day of Transgender Visibility celebrated on the New York skyline. But will you see the three crosses of Calvary? This is the question before us, and perhaps the most dangerous question you can ask in the nation is, why did those crosses stop being displayed in America's greatest city? Stay tuned. Got a great show for you here today. Elliot Page joins us at the end. Human Events Daily.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. World is in absolute flames, as you can tell. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster, but I cannot and will not ruin my day. Do you know why? That's because I start every day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% America. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. It powers me, powers the show, powers the business, powers everything we do at Human Events and just the Poso family. So you can go to blackoutcoffee.com/Poso yourself and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off. Remember, Mother's Day coming up next month. And it's never too soon to give mom or grandmom and those closest to your heart the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Poso, blackoutcoffee.com/Poso, promo code POSO20. Give mom something that she can use all year long, because if there's anyone who needs more recognition in society today, it is the moms and grandmoms, because they literally raise the next generation of our society. Speaking about our society, folks, it's a new day here. We've got Matt Boyle on from Breitbart. Matt, tell us this situation with Biden, the White House. We're looking at in the midst of this very caustic election, very close election in the national polls, where Biden is down. This transgender day of visibility thing, the March 31st. Of course, Christians asking, why was this on Easter Sunday? People responding, oh, you shouldn't be upset about it. You know, it's always done this time of year. It's like, really? You guys just made this up like 5 minutes ago. It's the central Christian holiday of the entire year. Walk me through, though, is there a political fallout to things like this? Because last week you have the Biden administration, the horrific death of Jonathan Diller, this eulogy of his widow up there, the gripping photo of the one-year-old son that he leaves behind, President Trump going to visit him, all the other Democrats meeting at Radio City Music Hall, then the Trans Day. Walk me through, Boyle. Do Americans see this? Are we going to see this reflected in the polls?
Yeah, so campaigns always come down to a handful of moments that we look back on after the fact and we say, oh, that was the moment, or this was a moment. And it's usually like three or four big ones, and then there's a few little ones beyond those throughout the course of the year. And I would say in the last week, we've had really two of these big moments that demonstrate what this elections is all about. On Thursday of last week, obviously, you had President Trump go into the wake of Officer Diller, who was slain, New York City Police Department officer, was shot doing a routine traffic stop. just a terrible, terrible story. And it just shows you that in Joe Biden's America, because Joe Biden's the president and Democrats control the government, literally anyone, including a police officer, but literally every single American is at risk of being gunned down by a criminal, especially Joe Biden's illegal aliens, just if they go out and go about their lives in a regular manner on any given day. We see these horrible stories all the time. So Trump went to the wake there. Well, Joe Biden palled around with these Hollywood globalist elites and two former presidents, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, in New York City at the Radio City Music Performance Hall, or whatever it's called, in New York City in Midtown Manhattan. And so and Lizzo was there, and Queen Latifah, and Stephen Colbert, and Mindy Kaling, and all these like celebrities and whatnot. It just goes to show you just how out of touch the Biden side is. The second big thing is obviously this whole incident this weekend with Transgender Day of Visibility falling on Easter Sunday. To be fair to the Democrats, Easter Sunday changes every year based on the lunar calendar and whatnot, right? With the end of Passover. And that's been their argument in response to it. But to your point, Jack, they literally made this holiday up like 8 years ago, right? Like, and they said that it's going to happen on March 31st. They could have moved it to April 2nd or to March 30th or to a different day, right? Like, they didn't have to do Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday this year. They could have kicked it to an earlier or a later day if they wanted to do it. But it just shows you just how out of touch they are. You played that montage of all these top Democrats, and there are many more of them. I saw Senator Ed Markey, Senator Bob Casey, right? Like all these other ones recording these lengthy videos explaining why they stand with the transgender movement and so on and so forth. Well, where is the videos of these people talking about how they stand with Christians? They didn't do that. They sent out like, so again, the focus from them has been this overemphasis on this leftist radical ideology of the transgenderism and not on what Easter is all about, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the fact is that by the way, they know that it's a mistake for them politically that they did this, even though they doubled down and tripled down all weekend and again today, because Joe Biden at the Easter egg roll today denied doing it. Like he went out there, White House press reporters are tweeting out quotes right now from Biden saying, I didn't do it. Well, no, yes, you did, Mr. President. Mr. President, you issued the proclamation on Good Friday saying that March 31st, 2024 is Transgender Day of Visibility. You did it. It's it's a proclamation from the President of the United States. It has his name in it. It has his signature on it, right? Like, so Speaker Johnson called him back out in response to it. But the fact is that I think that the Biden's denial of doing what we know that he did demonstrates is the Democrats know that even though they doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on this, they know that it is a disaster for them politically. Let's put it this way. The overnight tracking polling on this probably not looking so good for the Democrats, and they're trying to backtrack and move away from it, and they're trying to point to, oh, well, Fox News celebrated Transgender Day of Visibility back in 2021. That's true, by the way, and I remember Breitbart called out Fox News back in the day when this all nonsense started, but the fact is that just because Fox News did it and doesn't make the two rights don't make it wrong. Our two wrongs don't make it right, right? Like, the Biden campaign is a total mess here. They keep making mistakes. In fact, I will say I've talked to many Democrats for the last several months who are very uneasy about the Biden campaign going into this election. These are very plugged in Democrats, people that work for top lawmakers, et cetera. They say they have an old saying on their side that Republicans don't win elections, Democrats lose them. And they feel like that's what's happening right now. So if the Biden team keeps making these mistakes, like the Thursday events in New York City, or like what we just saw here with the Transgender Day of Visibility, Biden declaring that is on Easter Sunday, I think you might start seeing more and more separation between Trump, who is the leading candidate for president, and Biden in the polls.
And that's really what an election is all about, because you don't want to be able as a
as a candidate, right? You don't want to let your opponent be able to draw that clear distinction of a contrast between you and them on an issue that isn't of your choosing. It's all about contrast. So if you can contrast and visual is so important, and it's something that I've had to explain to candidates and politicians so many times to point out that this is what people remember. People remember things because we are visual. Visual is always going to have a representation and a higher weight in anyone's memory than verbal or textual. So if you tweet something, if you say something, it's the visual is still going to be more powerful. So to point that out, the visuals of President Trump being there with the family are going to be remembered the same way that everybody remembers when Trump went to East Palestine and then Biden didn't go there for like an entire year. People remember J.D. Vance going to East Palestine, throwing the stick in the river. Okay, it's so easy. It's like the easiest 12 seconds of work he ever did, you know. But the point is that these are the things that people remember. When you're in the social media environment, you can combine the two for politics. It seems, though, that for Biden, these guys, they try very hard. And like Andrew Bates, their comms director, he's so bad at his job that it's actually fun for me to watch him on a regular basis try to explain this stuff away. Because, you know, their visuals are like, oh, we're up at Radio City Music Hall wearing aviators. Like, okay, as Americans are all freaking out and people are paying extra, you know, double for eggs than they were a couple of years ago. And you think that visual is good for you somehow? No, it's a joke. People are out there hurting, and you guys are acting like it's a party.
Yeah, there's a few things I would unpack there. First is that the talent around Joe Biden is not very good, right? Like Andrew Bates, you mentioned, he's just a terrible communicator, right? Like this guy's going to cost Joe Biden tens of thousands of votes in Rust Belt states around the country just by being a bore, right? Like, and bore, I mean, B-O-O-R, right? Like, you know, terrible person, Andrew Bates is. Karine Jean-Pierre, another one, a terrible communicator, who's the White House press secretary. I don't know if you saw this. She literally hung up on a radio show in North Carolina when they were asking totally legitimate questions, right? They asked, does the president have dementia? And she answered the question. And then they asked about what's he going to do about grocery prices and inflation. And then she hung up on the show. Like, she literally hung up in the middle of the interview. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. I've interviewed so many people, candidates, et cetera. If you hang up in the middle of the interview when you're getting asked basic questions, she's just a terrible communicator. So unless Biden magically finds some new talented communicators and whatnot for his campaign, I think he's in serious trouble in this regard. And then the second thing I would unpack there is, this emphasis on moments. So what Trump needs to keep doing over the course of this race, and he's been doing it, is draw moments, create moments. The more he does that, the more he's Palestinians, the better it is for him.
Better it is for Matt Boyle, Washington Bureau Chief, Breitbart News, is our guest. Be right back. Human Events Daily continues. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. It's been a mystery. The hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-order in line, human. Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, how do you survive a communist apocalypse? We'll tell you what. Number one, watch Human Events Daily every day. Check. Follow Poso on X. Check. Pre-order Unhumans on Amazon. Check. There's one thing you're forgetting, and it can make the difference, the biggest difference in your future and your family's financial future, and that's checking out today's episode sponsor, Allegiance Gold. Since 2020, Bidenomics has obliterated the American economy. Imagine what four more years will do to interest rates, debt, labor disputes. You need something stable so that you need to take a breath and know that that money you earned, that retirement you work for, is safe. You have to proactively protect your assets so that when the supply chains get rocked and Biden decides to print a few more trillion-dollar bills, it won't impact your family's bottom line. And the only way to do that is with the one true beacon of stability that so many patriots use to preserve their wealth with, and that's, my friend, is gold. Over the last 5 years, it's almost doubled in value. And with the way things are looking, the sky is the limit. Allegiance Gold has done things the right way from the beginning, so it's no coincidence that they've earned the highest trust ratings in the precious metals industry, 5 stars at TrustLink, and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. Allegiance Gold can help protect your IRA or 401k with a physical gold and silver, or you can have it delivered securely to your doorstep. Get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying investment when you go to protectwithposo.com or call 844-577-POSO. Don't risk your financial future betting against those forces. Act today. Protectwithposo.com. That's protectwithposo.com or call 844-577-POSO. Matt Boyle, the Washington Bureau Chief, is our guest. Matt, I got to tell you, I'm looking at some of these polls that came out over the weekend. I believe there was one that was raised to the White House. And what was really interesting that I saw was that President Trump in swing state after swing state is actually running ahead of pretty much all the Republican Senate candidates. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a knock on the candidates. I think that there's a lot of really good candidates out there, Bernie Moreno, Kerry Lake, many others. But there's something unique to Trump where he's actually pulling ahead of the party and polling ahead of the party. Can you walk through us that dynamic in these swing states, and why is it that we see Trump so far ahead? And I'm talking, by the way, not just those two, but states like Nevada, states even like Michigan, so many more.
Yeah, look, I think it's an interesting phenomenon, and I do think that Trump will finish ahead of the Senate candidates in terms of vote total and margin over the Democrat opponent in November. Trump is a uniquely popular person, right? Like, and people are voting for a president, and we see this oftentimes in presidential elections. But I do think that the down-ticket candidates help Trump in a large way as well. Places like Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, Ohio, et cetera. I did in Pennsylvania as another one. I think that in addition, so I call it the unholy alliance, right? Like between Trump and Senate Republican candidates. What it is, the two of them help each other in a big way. They kind of bring different voters to the table to vote for the Republican ticket up and down. And I think that while you will see Trump finish ahead of these guys in all of these places or most of these places in November, I think it'll tighten a little bit, right? Like, I think that what's going on right now is, you know, we've obviously had a couple of these primaries. We had the Ohio primary a couple weeks ago. We'll have a few more of them coming up. Some of them are already settled in that we know who the candidates is going to be. Most of them are pretty much settled, actually. So the fact is that I think that part of it is that the general elections in these Senate races haven't really kicked up yet. And as the Republican candidates get their name ID up a little bit more in a general election audience, that will even itself out. But I do think that it's critically important for Senate Republican candidates to stick with Trump and for Trump to stick with them for both of their chances in all these places. If you look back at 2016, there's only two battleground states where Trump lost and the Senate Republican candidate lost. It was the two states where the Republican candidates for Senate had unendorsed Trump, New Hampshire and Nevada, back in 2016. So again, what we've seen in the past here is that if they stick together, they win together. If they split apart, they lose. So, if they stick together, I think they both will do very well, both the Senate candidate and Trump in all of these battleground states.
Yeah, you're right, because we're looking at places, you know, I'm looking at places like, you know, as you say, Pennsylvania, my home state. You know, that's a place where Bob Casey has just got massive name ID, generational name ID in Bob Casey, whereas Dave McCormick, he ran the primary in the Senate race in 2022. He did well, but he ultimately was unsuccessful. Then against Dr. Oz in that primary. And then Oz went on to lose to John Fetterman, John the Frankenstein monster up there in the Senate. But he's just not as well known as a Casey or Donald Trump. Then again, you've got Hovde in Wisconsin, which is another state. He's close, though. Rogers in Michigan. I'll tell you what, though, when we're talking about the Senate writ large, walk us through some of Matt Boyle's Senate map for the Republicans. Where do you see the challenges? Where do you see the best opportunities?
Yeah, well, look, the Republicans need to really aggressively over the next few months here go on offense in places like Ohio and Montana in particular. They've got West Virginia pretty much locked up, assuming Jim Justice, the governor there, wins the nomination, which I believe he will. He's the Trump-backed candidate, and Manchin's not running for re-election, so that one's going to be a Republican flip. So then Ohio and Montana, if they can put those in the R column by, you know, the middle of the summer, right, like where Sherrod Brown and John Tester are polling terribly, then I think that that's when you really start trying to run up the score in places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada. Republicans have a real historic opportunity here. They have to flip a net two seats or one plus the White House. They've already got one to get the majority back in the Senate. But not only can they get the majority in November in the Senate, they could build a really big majority, right? Like if they win all those states I just laid out for you, and there's a few other ones out there that could be surprises if it's a big night for the Republicans on election night, places like Minnesota or New Mexico, possibly New Jersey, right? But depending on what Menendez does in terms of whether he runs as an independent or not. So Republicans could get into the mid to high 50s, perhaps even as high as 60 if it's a real perfect night for Republicans. I don't think they'll go that high. But if they can get to 55, this country's a very different place with 55 Republican senators versus 49 Republican senators.
I mean, 55 Republican senators, that's a place where we can actually get back to totally dismantling so many things that the Democrats and really the left have done. Because there's an interesting thought that so much of American power today, and I'm talking not even externally, but internally, domestically, that American sovereignty is really found in the bureaucracy and in the judiciary. And so these are the two places that, and you know, you got people like Chris Rufo and others out there that have been targeting the bureaucracy a lot, but you're going to need a resurgence of power through any vector possible. And so to your point, if you want that kind of power over the bureaucracy, if you want the ability to start firing people left and right, you're going to need that backstop in the Senate. You're going to need the right, President Trump's got to have the right kind of cabinet, which is the leader of those bureaucracies, of the independent agencies and the other cabinet positions that run the departments. This is what you need. You need people that are going to be hardline, that can get in there and do things, which to your point, right? 55 senators, imagine what kind of AG you get out of that. Imagine what kind of Secretary of Homeland Security, imagine what kind of Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State. This is how you actually get that, is by winning the Senate.
And the House, too. You need the House as well. And the House is a little bit tougher for the Republicans this year, just given the fact that they've got a slim majority right now.
Walk us through the House.
They're kind of on this high wire act all the way to November. That being said, there are some analysts out there that are saying that things look actually a lot better for Republicans on the House side than the national prognosticators would have you believe. And it's one of the things I'm kind of working on right now, and I'm trying to get a broader sense of. And we'll try to drill down into each district and get a better sense of it. But it looks like things might be a little bit better for the Republicans than the national media would have you believe on that regard. That being said, it's going to hew very closely to the presidential election. But if you want to actually go after, this bureaucracy that you're talking about, if you want to actually change the way Washington works, you really need the numbers in Congress, right? Like, and if you, along with a president and administration that are willing to do it. And I think that it's critically important that they get the Republicans get that number as high as possible in the Senate and try to expand their House majority, as well as taking back the White House.
And this is key. So when it comes to the House, what can Republicans in the House do? Should they make it district races, or should they nationalize their races and really just get behind Trump as a unified front?
I think it's a little bit different in the House than the Senate. The Senate, those are statewide races, right? Like the House, sometimes you run on a nationalized race. Other times there's specific districts out there that are a little bit tougher and whatnot. So it just kind of depends. The House is a little bit of a different, trickier place than the Senate.
Amen. Matt Boyle, tell people what you're working on, where people can follow you, where people can get your info.
Yeah, just go to Breitbart.com, or I'm on True Social too, at Real Matt Boyle, working on all sorts of different exciting things. So just follow along on Breitbart. We'll have plenty of stories over the next, you know, several weeks.
All right, Matt Boyle. The people in D.C. are scared of Boyle because they know this guy is just as sourced on the left side of the aisle as he is on the right side. That's why when he posts something, doesn't matter how long it is. And let me tell you, sometimes Matt's articles get a little long. 5,000 words, 6,000 words, it doesn't matter. People are going to be reading it because they're a tour de force, and everybody knows that every word of what he puts out is 100% true. Kash Patel joins us next, another guy that corporate DC is terrified of. Stay tuned. Human Events Daily continues.
So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-order in line, human. Can't wait to get my hands on that book. Gonna dive into its pages. But I got a hankering, yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I just can't hide.
Okay, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. We're in Washington, D.C. Our next guest is Kash Patel, man who needs no introduction. But I will say this about Kash. Kash gave testimony to the January 6th committee and said that Trump authorized the National Guard for use on January 6th. We were then told Kash was a liar, that he made it up, that this was, ghostwriting, freelancing after the fact. And then all of a sudden, something like almost 3 years, over 2 years later, Tony Ornato, the head of the Secret Service detail for President Trump for the White House, his transcript comes out, it gets unearthed, and lo and behold, look at this. It specifically confirms and corroborates exactly what Kash said. Kash, walk us through the revelations of the Tony Ornato transcript.
Yeah, hey, Jack, it's great to be with you. And look, I analogize this to the following. You remember Russiagate and Christopher Steele and the Steele dossier? Well, the January 6th
I try to forget committee... it, but yes, unfortunately, I do.
I try to forget it, too. But Liz Cheney and the January 6th committee are essentially Christopher Steele, and the Ornato transcript is the opposite of the Steele dossier. They pulled the same maneuver, right? They had evidence, the FBI in that case, had evidence of innocence that proved someone was corroborated in telling the truth that Donald Trump was not a Russian asset, that the FBI lied and all that other stuff. What do we have here? We have the federal government, just a different branch, the legislative branch, now led by Liz Cheney and Cassidy Hutchinson, author a completely false narrative, the insurrection narrative, because that's what they want to use to rig an election against President Trump. And as I testified maybe 3 years ago now, that Donald Trump authorized 10,000+ National Guardsmen and women days before January 6th, and Pelosi and Bowser in writing refused it, I was called a liar, and everybody said I was putting out disinformation. Even though we put out Bowser's letter, even though we put out Pelosi's Capitol Police in writing rejection of the National Guard before January 6th, none of that mattered. But here's the thing, they had the quintessential piece of exonerating evidence. A career Secret Service officer testified 2.5 years ago to the Jan 6 committee, completely corroborating the 10,000+ National Guard authorization. And so that nukes the insurrection narrative. So it's not a mishap that they buried this guy's transcript. They intentionally wormhole this thing because it destroys the singular narrative that the Trump campaign, that they're lobbied against the Trump campaign. You can't elect this man. He's an insurrectionist. When in fact, legally, constitutionally, and factually, he is everything the opposite of whatever you call an insurrectionist, because he wanted to protect January 6th, and he called for it, and it was only shut down by the Pelosi's and Bowser's.
And Kash, walk everybody through this, because people will say, oh, okay, well, Kash Patel, you know, he's a Trump guy, he's a MAGA guy, you know, he's Nunez staffer, and now he's this, and blah, 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 blah. But, you know what they say, of course. But Tony Ornato is not exactly some, like, fire-breathing Trump supporter, is he?
No, he's
I don't even know what the guy's politics are. I've never asked him. His responsibility is to lead the most important protection detail in the United States government, that of a sitting president. And the fact that I didn't even know he testified. That's the most ironic thing to me. It's not like I went into the Jan 6 committee and said, you need to interview him and him and him and her and that person and that person. They interviewed Tony Ornato. They didn't tell anyone the results of that testimonial. They, Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff and company, even though they knew they had in black and white under oath written evidence that exonerates Donald Trump, they did the same thing that they did in Russiagate. They went to the media and they lied about it because they needed that narrative to continue. And so the best evidence has always been of their own making. And this is why they didn't release Tony's testimonial transcript, which I encourage everybody to go read, literally. Because they can't call him a politico. He's not a Trump guy. He's not a Biden guy. Nobody knows what he is. And that's because he was doing his job as a career Secret Service officer. And then he went in and testified to the truth. And who withheld it? Of course, the government gangsters in Congress, Cheney, Schiff, and company. And so I'm glad it's out there. But they're motoring on past this narrative and then say, nothing to see here. Donald Trump, still guilty of insurrection because we say so.
Right. And of course, this narrative is so important for us, and we've gone through it so many times, because this is the narrative now that they're using, number one, to keep so many people locked up and have their charges completely extended. But also, it is the narrative they're using to try to prevent President Trump from appearing on the ballot. And Democrats are even saying, Cash, I don't even understand how this is legal. They're trying to say that if they win the House, that they will, and it's like total inversion here. They're saying, we'll just refuse to certify him on the next January 6th if we win the House because he's an insurrectionist. It's like it's everything upside down.
Well, they don't care. They're hypocrites. They'll just make it up, and then they'll do the opposite when it favors their position, whether it's Russiagate, whether it's 51 intel letter, whether it's January 6th, whether it's Hunter Biden's laptop, whether it's the baseless prosecution of Donald Trump, the classified docs case, and Joe Biden's classified documents exoneration. They will literally make up new laws and facts to support their position when it's politically favorable to them. That is what the radical left and the deep state have done for years, and they're going to continue to do so. The insurrection narrative, and like you said, look, I was the lead witness in the Colorado case where they tried to take Trump off the ballot. And remember, that judge said Cash Patel is not credible, even though she had no information to decide I was not credible, except for she needed the Jan 6 insurrection narrative to carry the day. And what do we have? What do we find out? Tony Ornato's transcript wasn't presented to them either. Not only that, but the January 6th committee actually excluded evidence I submitted to them. The Bowser letter, the DOD timeline, the Capitol Police report, the Biden Inspector General report, where Biden's Inspector General of the Department of Defense said the Trump administration DOD acted swiftly, appropriately, and without delay on January 6th in relation to the National Guard. That was their finding. We put that into the record. They excluded all of it. This is what they do. They selectively withhold evidence from the American people so they can have a political narrative that they want out there for disinformation campaign purposes to do what? Rig a presidential election. So it's no surprise that you have the congressional nubs going out there right now saying, we're not going to certify this. Wait till we see what happens the next January 6th if Donald Trump is elected president.
Look, and it's important that you mention that as well, that they didn't just withhold it from the public. They didn't just withhold it from the media or the rest of Congress. They withheld it for use in these court cases. So now that the transcript is out, you can actually put this up and say, hey, hold on a second. Wait, here's Cash Patel. Here's a transcript for Tony Ornato. In fact, I remember one of the first places I heard this other than you was Chris Miller makes this who had been the SecDef, makes this offhanded comment to, I think, like Variety magazine of all places, talking about how Trump had said this. And then he sort of brushes it off, though, and says, like, but it wasn't that serious. Like, what do you mean it wasn't serious? Is the president of the United States saying something? Like, Cash, you remember this from being in government. When the principal says to do something, it's not like a movie where I remember this in the military. They're not saying Lieutenant Potomac, I'm now hereby ordering you. Like, no, that's not how it works on a day-to-day basis. But if the principal says something, if the CEO says something, guess what? That means it's an order.
The commander-in-chief says something, it's an order. That's it. There is no one above him. If you want to change that command and control structure, then you need to go be president. And look, the January 6th committee didn't just attack people with disinformation like me in the media. They threatened people who actually put out the truth. They threatened Chris Miller with litigation and subpoenas should he continue putting out the truth that Donald Trump authorized the 10,000+ National Guard. They threatened media outlets. That's why you haven't seen me on certain media outlets in, say, 16 months, because they were threatened. And of course, most of them didn't want Donald Trump's narrative that he was not an insurrectionist proven on their outlets. So this is the levels that the government is willing to go. And this is the stories that are now coming out. It's not me saying so. Outlets have now reported what I have just said in multiple forms, corroborated by multiple people. So the January 6th committee, Jack, in my opinion, they need to be investigated immediately. Why isn't Liz Cheney and Cassidy Hutchinson, the authors of the Steele dossier for January 6th, front and center in front of the American people now, asking questions under oath and answering them? What are
the Cash, hold that thought. We've got a quick break coming up. This is perfect, though. Reciprocity, the code of exact reciprocity. This is what the Republicans need in order to fight back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Human Events Daily. So I'm jumping on my computer. Pre-order town. Pre-order in line, human. Can't wait to get my pre-order in line, human. Can't wait to get my hands on that book. Gonna dive into its pages. Take a closer look on the Russian Revolution. Jack, so we're back live. We're here, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C., speaking with Cash Patel. Cash, this is something I talk about, and we've got it with Joshua Lysak. We're actually going to be on Don Jr. tonight expanding on this, but we call it the code of exact reciprocity. And this is, it's actually a very old form of morals and set of moral values, and it's an old, old textbook policy that it totally feels like the conservatives and Republicans, and certainly the House Republicans, have absolutely forgotten about exact reciprocity. What would reciprocity look like right now, and what are we not seeing in the U.S. House?
Just follow the law. Follow the Constitution. I mean, it's really simple. I'm not asking for Congress to redraft the Constitution. I'm asking for Congress to go out and issue subpoenas to people who lied to the American public about one of the most consequential investigations in U.S. history for political purposes. I want to know why Congress hasn't subpoenaed Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, Cassidy Hutchinson, who, by the way, is now being sued for defamation for her lies under oath that she got bankrolled by the Democratic radical left movement. I want to know why every email, every phone call, every text message from every supporter, every staffer, every intern, and every member of Congress on the Jan 6 committee hasn't been subpoenaed. And I want to know why Congress can't do that overnight and produce it to the American people. I'm not even asking them to stand up a new committee. I don't want that. They'll ruin it if they do that. I want them to produce the receipts so America can read them themselves, just like Tony Ornato's transcript. And I want one member of Congress to have the political gumption and the gonads to go out there and do it.
Well, and this is our theory, right? So our theory is that unless Republicans actually start doing these things, that you're not actually going to get anyone on the left to stop. And it's a simple idea. It's called reciprocity. This was, by the way, what got us through the Cold War, right? You know, why are we not getting nuked by the Soviets? Because they can nuke us back. So it's called mutually assured destruction. But if you have no leverage, if you have no actual credible threat that it will happen, then you're just going to get run roughshod over every single time. And you get these Republicans in there who say, oh, well, we just want to play nice, so let's have a budget negotiation, la, 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 where it's like, it's crazy to me, right? And this is why people get nuts when they watch the news or they turn on shows like mine, or they're watching you when you're going on, and they'll say, wait a minute, so the Democrats are doing this, 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 and this, and then the Republicans want to go over and work with the Democrats to put a budget, and they don't even bring any of that stuff up. It makes no sense.
No, it's the deep state. Look, I'll give you a perfect example. The FBI, who literally rigged a presidential election by calling Donald Trump a Russian asset when they knew it was false and lied to a federal court just to get that surveillance warrant. That FBI, who last year illegally surveilled 275,000 Americans by the FISA process, that was their own FBI admission, not even my statement. That FBI has been rewarded with the new headquarters building in this new congressional boondoggle of a budget bill. They are going to reward these corrupt government bureaucrats. And that's the same thing that Congress and the media does. It doesn't matter really if you're Democrat or Republican. I mean, they'll just reward you as long as you are anti-Trump and help the Get Trump narrative efforts. They will give you billions in government funding. They will give you new buildings. They will make sure that you are never actually held to account for your own unlawful activities. Who in the FBI has been held account criminally for unlawfully surveilling American citizens using the FISA process? Who in the FBI has been held account to going forward and lying to a federal court to get a FISA court warrant against a presidential candidate? Anyone? Who at Congress has been held accountable for lying to the world, Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, Kinzinger, Swalwell, and the list goes on, about what their findings were in front of for an investigation? These people have made careers lying to the public, and the media is in on it with them.
And there's a huge benefit to this, by the way, because, you know, and you'll hear Republicans say, what will that solve? What will that solve? Will that do anything good for it? Well, I'll tell you what it solves. It gets you to put that look, a congressional subpoena. Gosh, tell the world the truth about this. You work with this whistleblowers and others. Is a congressional subpoena free? If you get hit with one of those things, do you just go to your, you know, go to your email and hand it over and then you're and it's all good? How much does one of those things cost? Or just the prep work alone?
I was the first guy subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. The first one. When I was done with my testimony, I had a legal bill north of $255,000.
$255,000 off of one subpoena. And that was, and if I remember correctly, that was just records and testimony, right?
That's it.
Records
that's
and testimony. People say
stuff.
Not even special counsel stuff.
That's none of that.
So and where does that money come from, Cash? Is that just money that just magically falls from the sky?
You know, luckily for us, you're right. For everyday Americans, it's tough. For me, I was a little fortunate because of the universe I'm in, right? And I had received some substantial assistance. But when it started, I didn't have that. I didn't have any. I was freaking out. And just imagine an everyday American who receives one of these subpoenas, which the January 6th committee did do by implementing Lawfare because they knew it was a financial guillotine that they were implementing when they issued these subpoenas on a 24/7 basis. People can't pay this kind of money. People don't have 5-10 extra grand laying around to deal with this and to deal with the, you know, disinformation campaign and the excoriation that the media is going to make out of you if you dare to be a piñata for Donald Trump. They will level you with a sledgehammer. But the truth matters more than any of that. And fortunately for me, I was able to stand up for it. But to your point, most Americans don't have the wherewithal or ability to do that. And this January 6th committee used it to their advantage.
A financial guillotine. You know, that's amazing because, of course, we're sitting here working on a book about political revolutions over the years. And the French Revolution is like one of the very first chapters. So there you go, folks. The show trials, the guillotine, French guillotine. It's all back. Cash, where can people go to follow you and to support your efforts?
Thanks. I'm at Truth Social, at Truth Social only, at Cash, at KSH. We just went public. Come join the free speech empire. No, Jack's there. And then the movie Government Gangsters is coming soon thanks to War Room Entertainment. Go get my bestseller, Government Gangsters, and wherever books are sold. But the movie's coming in May.
The movie's coming in May. I can't wait to see it, folks. Cash Patel, ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission. Play short.
I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town.